Welcome to the Crazy Egg Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X, Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, Ike? Do this again. Long time no talk. Again, I have to apologize for the sporadicness of, I guess if that's a word, of the podcast. I haven't been able to record as often as I'd like, but I'm not going to make up any more excuses. Just apologies. Life happens. What are you going to do? So let's get on with it. As I said, long time no talk. We're going to talk about some news and notes today, and then I'm going to break down a little bit, mostly the Ike versus Marseille match. Of course, Ike went down 2-0 to Marseille at home. And also talk a little bit about the Lamia match. Apologies again. Didn't get around to breaking down the basketball team as much as I'd like this week and making a basketball podcast. I know I said last time that I would, this episode about football would have came out earlier, and then I would have had this weekend had time to make a basketball. I will talk a little bit of basketball at the end of this podcast, but didn't have time to do that yet. I will get to it at some point. It might even take a little bit more time, but just be patient if you're waiting for that. Guys, thanks for the support. Please take a moment, subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating anywhere you can. Anything you can do to help out the show, I greatly appreciate it. I appreciate all the listeners out there, each and every one of you guys and gals. Just appreciate the support, your messages, everything. Just makes me want to keep on going and keep doing this podcast. So let's get to it, guys. News and notes. Vita signs a new contract with Ike, or a contract extension, till 2025. It's a 2+1, meaning I don't know if it's a player option at the end of this or if it's a team option. I forget. Didn't write it down in my notes. Great news for Ike. I have to be honest here, and I think I've said this before a long time ago maybe. I wasn't thrilled at this signing originally for Ike. I thought it was just trying to bring in a big name, but it's worked out so great. He's a great leader in that defense. He is a true professional and experience that you need around a young defense as Ike is trying to mold Mukudi and Mitoglu into the future of Ike's defense, hopefully. But great to see him with sign a new contract, knowing that he's going to stick around. And then there's even talks about maybe he loves living in Greece so much that he could potentially be around the club after he retires from football, so that would be great. In other news, Fernandez, I don't remember exactly, and I apologize for this, but I know I've heard a lot of Fernandez news and seen a lot of Fernandez news lately that says that he's close to coming back, way ahead of schedule. Obviously, I think Ike are very loaded up front, so they're not going to take any risks, but it's good to see that there's been a timetable where he's going to be back sooner rather than later. That could be a great pickup for Ike. Zini's coming back from injury soon also. Two players that we can kind of inject into this lineup that could hopefully give Ike a little bit more help up front. Even though it seems like this team is loaded up front, they're not producing the goals that we would like. So great news there. A little bit of concerns as Rota is dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury. Reports are that he's not going to play for the Ethniki during this international break. And CDP, it looks like he's getting kind of tired of playing all these games. So we'll see what happens there. Hopefully, Rota can come back healthy. You know, his stock has risen so much and keeps rising as he just keeps playing with Lazaros Rota. So we wish him well. We wish all these players a speedy recovery and hope they come back to the lineup soon. Of course, we had the return of Garcia and Araujo. Welcome back, Gacinovic. It was great to see all these players coming back for these two matches against Marseille and Lamia. All right, so let's get into it. All right, so Marseille. We'll talk about, like I said, mostly the Marseille match. Lamia, I don't really have much to say. The Marseille match, I was able to watch it from beginning to end. Lamia was kind of in and out of it. I think it was on a weekday, if I'm not mistaken. It was a day when I had a lot going on, so I was only able to, you know, watching after the kids and whatnot. Not having a lot of time to really laser in and focus on what was actually going on in the match. Just being completely transparent with you guys. But Marseille Ike, I was able to watch it. And I know I said in the last podcast, and I wish it would have came true, guys. And I was very hopeful that Ike were going to get a result. Simply because of the way Marseille played in the first match. I didn't see anything out of Marseille that was very threatening. You know, those of you that are probably my age, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older, remember games with Ike playing in Europe where it was like, you know, let's not go out there and get killed. And I mean brand names like this, right? Back in the day when we used to play Milan in the Champions League. Gosh, that's the only thing. Real, back in the day, the Galacticos Real, back in the day. You know, these were matches where you were like, whatever you can get from it, get the point, don't get killed. You know, losing 2-0 to Milan or a team of that quality was not seen as a bad thing. This group, by name alone, seems to have that kind of quality. The brand naming, like Marseille is a big name for me, not just because I'm an Ike fan and we have friendly relations with Marseille fans. They're the biggest team in France, and historically in France. I'm not talking about the PSG new money club that's running the league right now, but historically Marseille are the biggest club in France. But no disrespect to any Marseille fans that might be listening to this. I know I have listeners from all different spectrums of football, both Greek football fans, non-Greek football fans, Ike fans. I know of even a few of my friends that are Olympiacos fans, Panathinaikos fans that listen to this. So no disrespect to Marseille. But they didn't show that. They didn't show me that they have the quality. They have the brand names. The team name itself and the players, the quality to have that type of brand name. I mean, they were really gunning for being in the Champions League this year and really looking to hunt down PSG for the title. That's how their season began. But they didn't show that. Even though they beat us 3-1, it was a game where I felt like in the return match in Philadelphia, I could really get something from this match. And I think going in there with that mentality, and I feel like every Ike fan had that mentality because they didn't see anything that threatening out of Marseille where this French team's going to come down here and pump us 4-5-0. I didn't really see that, so I was hopeful that I could at least pull. I was honestly thinking we were going to win. I'm being fully transparent here. I thought Ike were going to get a victory in this match. So, in that moment, and I wish I would have been able to record right after that, right after this match, yes, the atmosphere was tremendous because we have this friendship with Marseille fans. Watching videos from the night before, the partying, I wish I could have been there. It looked fantastic. And not to take away from that, but let's talk about what happened on the pitch. What happened on the pitch pissed me off. I'm not even going to lie. But let's get into it and talk about it a little bit. In the first 15 minutes, both teams were trying to find their footing. Marseille missed a big chance. And then Mandalos had a big clearance in the first 15 minutes. But Marseille looked like the better side the first 15 minutes of the match. I would say about the first half hour. Because shortly after that, Vitinho missed a great chance to open the scoring. And then, of course, in the 30th minute, I try to defend players, and look, footballers are going to make mistakes. That's how goals go in. Keepers are going to make mistakes. Some of the best keepers in the world make mistakes. But Anastasiadis, what in the hell was going on through your teeth? Like, it was such a bad exit. It was like, Poslemilinika, man, Pidikihara exit. I don't know if this makes sense in English or if they say it, you know, maybe they, I know they don't say it here in America, but maybe they say it in other English-speaking countries, it was a playground defense, as we say in Greek to translate it. It might not make sense, but I think you guys get the gist of what I'm trying to say. It was just a horrible exit. He was in no man's land. I mean, the goal was left completely unprotected. Now, we also got to give credit where credit's due. That was a bad mistake, and unfortunately, in my mind also, before we continue, I thought that if Ike had a chance to win this game, we were going to have to score first. We were going to have to put the pressure on Marseille. I thought in my mind that if Marseille scores first, this game becomes very difficult for Ike to win. So that kind of took the air out of whatever was happening. Kind of took the air out of the crowd a little bit. And just a boneheaded play. And mistakes are going to happen, like I said. I'm not trying to blame the player. I hate completely bashing in the players. Because, honestly, in the second half, when Marseille had chances to put this match away, he made some brilliant, great saves. World-class saves by Anafisiadis. But it goes back to show how one mistake begats another, right? In my mind, if Stankovic was in this game, simply because he's in better match form and has been the starting keeper since the beginning of the season, I don't think Marseille scored that goal. Things might stay 0-0 till halftime, to where some of the pressure goes on Marseille. Now, as I said on the podcast last week also, or a couple weeks ago now, Marseille was going to come in here to try to get this result, to try to get 3 points, because they knew if they got 3 points out of this match, they were pretty much guaranteed at least one of the top two spots. So that pressure is taken off now, and now they can look forward to really going after Brighton to see if they could seal the deal and take the top spot in the group. So we knew this was going to be a battle going in, and I think Mateus knew that also. And Ike came out with no fear. They played Marseille, punch for punch. Right after the goal, Gacinovic in the 43rd minute missed a great opportunity to equalize. I was pulling my hair out, I think, at that point. You were watching Marseille make mistakes at the back. Ike were winning the ball very easily. And I think an informed Gacinovic scores that goal, and we're going level into halftime, which is unfortunate. That was another problem with this match. It was great to see Garcia back. He looked very threatening from the beginning of the match up front. I just looked like a different team. When you have that threat of such a speedy forward at the top, it just changes the whole dynamic of your team. It changes the dynamic of your attack. We have to keep this guy healthy more than anything. It changes the attack for this team so much. And you could see that in the first 30 minutes and then in continuing on into the second half. Of course, he missed a great header in the second half. In the 52nd minute, ball was crossed in. Beautiful cross by Amrabat. And I'll talk about him in a minute. Beautiful cross by Amrabat. Levy gets up there with those hops that he's got and gets on the end of the ball. Unfortunately, it does the favor for Marseille. Ike were unlucky again. Luck plays such a key sometimes, where you don't have that little bit of luck that you need. The ball goes straight to the keeper, and obviously they're able to keep the ball out of the net. Marseille, Amrabat had a fantastic game for me. Amrabat really impressed me in this game. Mandalas really impressed me in this game. Garcia, obviously having him back, the dynamic of that, having that forward, I can't say that enough. Even though Amrabat impressed me in this game, and you could tell it was highly physical, highly intense match from the beginning, and I understand why you would start Amrabat in that position. I don't like questioning Mateus Almeida, but in football, no matter if it's Mateus Almeida or freaking Pep Guardiola, you have to be able to take criticism, and then you have to be, there has to be some sense of accountability and criticism for the manager. I love him to death. I love what he's done with this club over the past couple of years. All that being said, I don't understand, in the form that Eliasson has been the past few games, why you would start Amrabat over Eliasson. I was like really hoping he was going to throw Eliasson in from the beginning of the second half. Now, like I said, Amrabat played fantastic, and maybe he was hoping if it's 1-1 or 1 or nil-nil in the second half, maybe to throw on Eliasson with that speed, with a tired defense to kind of get behind the defense a little more. I don't know, but I didn't understand why you wouldn't give the nod to Eliasson. That's just my, to put that kind of, to really put speed and really put pressure on Marseille from the get-go. But again, that's why I'm sitting here in my home office and Matheus is the manager. So then in the 64th minute, Anastasiades makes a great save. Like I said, you know, for the mistake that he made in the, it was a costly mistake. Don't make any bones about it. That was a mistake that cost us this match. Absolutely, 100%. Because I think if I go in nil-nil and they come out in the second half, I don't know. I just feel like we don't know if it might have changed the outcome of the match, but I just have this feeling it would have if we didn't concede such a silly goal in that moment. But he made a great save. And another thing I didn't understand is why he Almeida took out Garcia. I would have left Garcia in for a little bit longer just to have that threat up top. He puts Ponce in, rightfully so. I think he took Zuber out and put, he took Gacinovic out and I think put Zuber in and Araujo just to try to get salvage whatever you can. I kept pressing, trying for an equalizer, had a few half chances, but then of course, you know, Gattuso, the manager on the other side, did the no-brainer, the normal thought of putting his speedy forward and speedy players up front to try to catch Ike napping on the counter. Not really napping, but we had moved our line so far because we needed to get something. And I like that attitude. I like it when teams go for it, especially when you have no other choice. Like, what difference does it make now if you lose 1-0 or 2-0? 2-0 kind of, you know, that in that moment, I think it was an injury time when they scored, was kind of like, okay, this game's over. But why not go for it in a game where a point can mean a lot? A point can mean a lot whether you advance to the next round of the Europa League or playing for third to go down to the Conference League. You know, overall, like I said, but it's okay. So now, let me take a breather. Hold on one sec. All right. So now we get into the more frustrating parts. And here's where I wanted to talk about the match first and then talk about some other things that, you know, go on a little tangent here or conversation about where this team's going this year. It's very frustrating, especially when I went back and I looked at the stats, right? Ike had 22 total shots, 7 on target, while Marseille had 12 shots, 4 on target. Again, it's very frustrating, and I get it 100%. You have a forward in Ponce that came in. Yes, we know what Ponce can do, but sometimes it takes players time to get acclimated into the club, into a system. And, you know, we've seen him slowly getting better. We're not getting the results that we want as far as, like, production out of him, but slowly getting better. Okay, I get it. Garcia, I mean, Garcia's barely played this season. He's been injury riddled since August. Tough when you have built most of your offensive system around having that speedy player up front. It's tough, man. It's tough. It's disheartening. It's hard for you to take sometimes because, like I was just saying a few moments ago, if this was a Marseille team that was flying high, first in France, was just cruising through this group, crushing everybody, I would not be mad at this loss. I'd be like, okay, hands down, I deserve to lose. But I hate blowing opportunities where we have the opportunity to get results, especially in Europe. I'm still bitter, and I'm going to talk about it again, and I apologize if I sound like a broken record. I'm still bitter about Antwerp, honestly. And I understand this can happen in a playoff setting, in a two-leg playoff setting, or in like a cup setting, you know, where you have one team that's better and one team that just is more clinical in front of goal, and they knocked us out. Bravo to them. But it's still so freaking annoying. I'm trying to keep my language together here. To have that type of output, to statistically, I mean, you even look at the exegesis on this, and it was Ikwor 2.04 and Marseille were 2.64. Possession was 54 Ajax, 46 Marseille. I mean, the one thing that Ajax is paying for this season so far, and it's cost her dearly, is not being able to put the ball in the back of the net. And I hate saying that every week, but it's becoming an insanely bad weakness. Now, when I get to the Lamia match, I'll elaborate more on it, but to keep it with the Marseille match and keep the disappointment of what's going on in Europe, now let's talk about what we have coming up in Europe. Ajax have a very tough game against Brighton. Brighton's not going to take Ajax lightly this time. They're going to come out and look for revenge. You know, we spoiled their party up in England at Brighton, their European coming out party, and they're going to want to do the same for us. And they're going to look to win so they can qualify for the next round of the Europa League. So that sets up, not to say that I can't take things from Brighton, because Brighton is kind of, you know, they were flying high at the beginning of the season when I beat them, and they've kind of been Jekyll and Hyde. I think they're like a mid-table club now in the Premier League and have had some good, some bad, or some mixed results for Brighton, let's say. So I'm not going to say completely it's out of the question that I can get something from this, but let's say it's highly unlikely and very hard. That sets up for you to go to Amsterdam and play against Ajax. First off, we have to pray that Marseille don't screw up and lose against Ajax. I mean, in the other fixture, let's hope they get the job done in France and beat Ajax. Because if things remain the way they are, let's say Ajax lose, hypothetically speaking, like I said, anything you get from the Brighton match, whether it's a point or if you get 3 points, I mean, if you get 3 points against Brighton, you're back in the hunt for second place, and you've pretty much sewn up. If Marseille gets the job done against Ajax, you've pretty much gotten second place or third place sewn up. So you know you're continuing on in European football, which would be tremendously great. Don't get me wrong. And I'm hoping that's going to happen. But let's say things go chalk, as they say here in America, that Ajax lose to Brighton. That sets up you going against Ajax in Amsterdam to play for that third and final spot to drop down to the Conference League. I don't care how bad Ajax have looked. I don't care that Van Schip is their coach, is their manager now. That's a tough task to go in there with a talented Ajax team. Now, can I get the job done? Is that match going to be straight up fire? Yeah, that's going to be an insane match if that happens. So that's what we're looking at as far as European football goes now. Overall, it's just disappointing. It feels like it's such missed opportunities this year for Ajax in Europe and domestically. Like I said, domestically, I'm going to talk about here in a second. Need to get these injured players more acclimated into the club. Get Garcia going again. Garcia's very key that he stays healthy. Glad to see that help is on the way with Paulo Fernandez and Zini close to coming back. That's great news, but the one thing, this team just needs, someone needs to catch fire, please. Either Ponce or Garcia, start putting the ball in the back of the net. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Mandelos right now. Just somebody needs to start putting the ball in the back of the net consistently for Ajax right now. That's going to be the way our season goes this year, I feel like, you know. But that's Europe. That's Europe right now. It's just, it would be really sad if at the end of this group, at the end of the month, we're looking at, or I think middle next month is when the group is finally over. If we're looking at Ajax finishing fourth, yeah, at the beginning of this group, you would have said, damn, we finished fourth, but we finished with 4 points, or we finished with 5 points, or whatever the total is. that's pretty good against this group, against this, what people have dubbed like a Champions League group or a group of death that Ike found herself in. But at the same time, to be able to start off as strong as they did with 4 points and then not be able to get either any more points or not to at least be able to finish third, it's going to be very disappointing if that happens. But let's move on here. Let's move on to Lamia, Ike Lamia. Not much to say. Home game for Ike, 3-0. Finally, thank you, Lord, Ike getting an easy win. It feels like it has not been easy for Ike. Ike were clinical in front of goal. They scored 2 goals with 4 shots on target in the first half. Very clinical in front of goal. And this is what we needed. And this is what I've been talking about. I get the whole rotation thing. And I get you have to have that rotation when you have so many games. A lot of talking heads in Greece have talked about this, where it's like, you know, before last year, Almeida was able to play this constant press, this constant high intensity that would kind of, for lack of a better word, choke teams out, really put the pressure on other teams' defense, because Ike were only playing 1 or 2 games a week. Ike were playing, most of the time, they were playing once a week because we didn't have any European football. The Greek Cup really for Ike did not kick off to like January. So for the first 6-7 months of the season, you were playing 1 game a week, basically. I mean, I know there's time where there's midweek fixtures in the Greek league, whatever, you know, I don't want to get all technical about it, but you guys understand what I mean. But Ike, you know, even though they've kept that high intensity, and statistically, if you look at the stats, they have been the number one team that, is still getting something from the pressure up front in the Greek Super League. It hasn't been as intense as it was last season, you know, it and stuff. I agree with some of the talking heads in Greece again, where they've said teams have started to kind of figure it out. Almeida out after a season, and 100% understand that. But the most important thing is Ike to put the ball in the back of the net. Guys, I'm sorry. I know most of you guys might turn this off because that's all I keep saying over the past few weeks, but that's important. And another thing that I had said, the point that I was going to get to originally, was start your best players. Start your best players. Do what you did in this match. That's what we want. This match, not going to lie, from the beginning of it, especially going back and watching the replay, watching Lamia against Panathinaikos, and hearing about how well Lamia has been playing the past few games. And really, they're the best of the rest right now. They're probably, you know, besides the top 4 clubs, they're playing the best football in Greece. And they played great football in this match. Before I get on with it, they played great football in this match. They, even after it was 2-0, they kept their lines up high. They tried to press Ike. And it's great. I love seeing that from a so-called smaller club, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I love seeing that type of football. I love seeing teams go for it. One of the most boring things in the Greek Super League is you see these teams, and I get it, like, for all the teams in the bottom half of the table, points are such a big deal that if you could take 1 or 2 points from like a giant in the league, it's very vital. Anything you can get. So I get the fact of parking the bus or playing very defensively. But at the same time, if you're already 2-0 down, like, what's the difference between if you're Lamia and you lose 2-0 or you lose 5-0? Now, some people might say, okay, like, yeah, Teddy, yeah, you might say that, but if you're a fan of that club and you're sitting there getting pounded 5-0, okay, I totally get that other side of the argument. But for me, I want to see a team play football, and Lamia played football. Now, Ike toned it down a little bit in the second half and kind of dropped their intensity because they knew they were already up 2-0. And Lamia did look dangerous in the first few minutes of this game. They had a couple good half chances. But what Ike did that's very important, that I keep trying to circle back around to, is Garcia scored in the 10th minute, which is great. And I could not believe when I heard this. This is Garcia's first goal. Now, again, Garcia's been injured. But think about this, guys. Your starting forward is getting his first goal on November the 11th. Staggering, just, you know, this is why I could have been struggling. This is why I could have been dropping points this season. And then they get a second goal by Araujo in the 36th minute, and it's 2-0 at halftime. This is what this team needs to do. I'm sorry. And then at the second half, if let's say this was before a European fixture, then you could start subbing players out. Because I'll tell you something. I like listening to a lot of talking heads. Now, I'm not going to lie. This year, work, family life, whatever you want to call it, I haven't been listening to as much radio as I used to. Things are just a little bit different for me this year. But this week, I really homed in and listened to my favorite programs. And some of my favorite programming to listen to is, I love listening to ex-players. I love listening to the analysis of ex-players because they can take things deeper. Reporters, with all due respect, I love reporters. I love my Ike reporters. I respect reporters. It's a very hard job. Some of you guys might not respect them, you know, bloody journos, as they say across the pond with my bad English accent there, bloody journos. Some people don't like journalists. Some people don't like the way they write, whatever. Look, I give them respect because if you watch football over so many years, and especially if you're lucky enough to watch football live, I don't care if you are a journalist and you never played a day of football in your life, you're going to know a thing or two about football. I mean, I'm not trying to be cocky. Like I've said before, this isn't a podcast where if you listen to it, I break down analytics. I get into the nitty gritty of talking about, you know, everything about the game. But I have watched football for almost 35 years of my life. Like, I've watched it for a long time. I do know a thing or two about the game. Again, like I've said before, this podcast is strictly most of the time from a fanboy perspective. So you have to take some of the stuff that I say with a grain of salt. All that being said, I like listening to ex-players because they give you such great insight on what the team mentality might be like, what it's like, what they see. For example, the locker room is still strong, that Almeida has not lost the locker room, that they might see, they just have very interesting perspective on things. There was a point I was trying to make that I totally forgot. Sorry, my mind went blank for a second. But it's very interesting to hear them say, this is the point I was trying to make. It's very interesting to hear them say stuff like, you know, in the media, we tend to make excuses sometimes for teams. Oh, you know, they're tired. They've played way too many games. First off, players will tell you straight out, you don't get tired. You don't get tired of consistently playing. That doesn't, you know, you play one or two games a week. That's not going to make you tired. The team's not going to look tired. Now, one thing that I did hear Almeida say after this game that I thought was very important, and I think something that this whole team needs to home in, something that we've all seen. If you follow this club, you've seen this season, and it's been very frustrating from a player's perspective because you know Almeida's done his homework, and you know Almeida's going to have this team ready to play. But at the end of the day, the players need to take these games seriously. And he said players took this game seriously. And I'm glad they took this game seriously because Lamia was a dangerous club coming in at Yasofia. So that's very important. That's very important for me to hear Almeida say. Like I was saying before, it's nice to hear ex-players talk about things around the game, how happy players are, you know, Vida signing that contract extension. But this is what this team needs to do against clubs like La Mia. Just go in there, get the result. Get the result right away from the beginning, then rest players if you want to. If, you know, we're going to have a big European match. And I get it. Look, I understand people saying, okay, I don't understand this whole sentiment on players being tired. You're playing two games a week. But, I mean, when you're playing an Almeida system that's very high intensity, very aggressive, you're going to want players to be a little more rested. So 100% get that. I know I'm kind of contradicting in the point I just made a second ago, but I think most of you people understand what I'm talking about. You want to, because no matter how good of a team La Mia is, it's different playing against La Mia. And then let's say you had Ajax next week after this, or within a few days after this. Totally different games, right? Okay, so I 100% get that. I just need to put the ball in the back of the net. Another thing that I want to talk about for a few minutes before I move on is it's also been frustrating, I think, because we're coming off a season where we lived such a high as Ike fans, right? There was this new coach. He took us to new heights. It was a very emotional season, very roller coaster season of the from the way it began to the way that it finished. Probably, I would say, one of, if not the best season I've ever lived as an Ike fan. And I was very happy and very proud that I, you know, as I've said before on the podcast, I started this podcast not to talk about the good times with Ike, but to vent my frustrations over this club that I love so much. So it's kind of ironic that at the end of probably one of the worst seasons I've ever experienced as an Ike fan came one of the best seasons I've ever experienced as an Ike fan. And I've said this before. I think I was going to make the point in the last podcast, and re-listening to the podcast, I totally forgot to make it. We haven't gotten our fill of titles as Ike fans. And I think what's getting frustrating with me being as old as I am, I really want to see this team win more titles, and it's getting, like, I don't mind losing derbies, and I don't mind losing to teams that are better than me. There were years in the past where, mostly with Ibiaquas, obviously, you just had to tip your hat to them and say, hey, they had a freaking amazing team. They had a great club. Now, some of you might come at me and say, well, you don't become a football fan for trophies. True. I'm not a glory hunter. If I was a glory hunter, I would have become an Ibiaquas fan a long time ago. No offense to any Ibiaquas fans out there. But I just hate watching this team piss points away against Offie, against, you know, if we have a shot to win the title, let's win the freaking title. And I think it's been hard because we're coming off such a high emotional season where we watched Ike win a double. I mean, not to go down this rabbit hole again and keep you guys here much longer, but I still think I can do it again this year, and that would be amazing if they were able to get back-to-back doubles. I mean, the season that we lived last year was something that was, I mean, it can only be described as magical. To have Ike return to Philadelphia, to return to where the refugees, the migrants of this club, or mostly refugees, not migrants, started this club and built it from the ground up. The fans themselves built the first stadium, or helped build the first stadium. And to have it return there after so much controversy, so much trouble, living kind of this, you know, as we call as Ike fans, the second refuge, being refugees again to the desert that is the Oaxaca Stadium, you know, from that to watching this team play the tremendously great football they did last season at times, to watch them win probably the most unbelievably close title race we've seen in Greece in probably the last 30 years, if not longer, to getting to the final, getting a red card in the final within the first few minutes against an opponent that had owned us in the Greek Cup the last few years. Let's be completely honest, both in Greek Cup finals, and they knocked us, I think, the last two seasons out of the Greek Cup, and the way they've done it over the past few years, to end up winning that Greek Cup, to score two goals against that Balk team, against that team specifically, and win the double for the first time in 45 years. I just want everybody to have those memories in the back of their heads, because it's hard sometimes. It's hard to kind of take that away. And, you know, listen, there's a chance also because teams have gotten better around us because this team is not playing to their full potential. And I truly believe that. I want to believe that as a fan, that this team's not where they need to be yet. And hopefully they can get it together, putting the ball in the back of the net and playing better football. They're playing a little bit better defensively. That was another good thing in this Lamia match, that we had another clean sheet. That this team gets it together. But let's put that in the back of our minds, because I have to keep kind of reminding myself where we were 2 years ago and what we lived through last year, the magic that we lived through last season, and to see this team play well this season and live up to their potential. The one sour note about this is that, you know, they don't have, they haven't reached that peak yet, which is a good thing, but I hope they reach that peak in the next few weeks or after this international break. I hope they reach that peak now, you know, in the next few weeks, instead of reaching it in March and playing great football when, you know, Panathinaikos could be 10 points ahead and you're out of Europe for whatever reason. You're out of Europe because you couldn't get any results in these last two matches of these last two group games. I think that would be a travesty because I do think this team could do big things moving forward, and hopefully they do. But look, today, since I kept the podcast so long, I'm not going to talk that much basketball. Ike seems to be improving in basketball. I mean, look, I listened to something recently that said their turnover in basketball, as far as players are concerned, they have one player from last year. So it's taken some time, but they're slowly building better. The one good thing is they're 3-0 in the Basketball Champions League, which is the key competition for Ike basketball, as I've talked about before. You know, Greek League, very hard to win. I don't know they're standing in the Greek Cup or where they are in the Greek Cup. In the league, they've gotten some wins here and there, so they've kind of bounced back from an early season loss. So, very important that they're getting the results in the BCL, the Basketball Champions League. I think they play this Wednesday, big match against the Polish opponent, the return match. And if they win that match, they already sealed up first place, which makes a massive difference for the next stage of the Basketball Champions League. It's going to make it, they're going to have so much, they're going to have easier opponents. If they're able to do that, which I think they will. They've been playing great basketball lately. I mean, you know, to take it back to the Olympiacos match where they played well against Olympiacos. They have a match against Panathinaikos this Monday, which should be interesting to see what happens. So let's hope I can get it done. Let's hope football-wise they start putting the ball in the back of the net. Hopefully in basketball they keep building. And guys, I will talk to you maybe this week. Don't quote me on it. Maybe I'll do a basketball episode to talk about the basketball team a little bit more in depth. If not, our next opponent in football is against Pas Yanina. We have to go into Yanina, a struggling Yanina team. And this is a tricky match because it's hard to go play in Yanina. They're a good team at home, and they're close to the bottom of the table, so they're in desperate need of points. So Ike really, really needs to put away Yanina early. Obviously, of course, not only do we have Yanina, but that week following, we have the game against Brighton. So very, very key matchup coming up for us. Every game is key from here on out. Let's hope that long may it continue. Congrats to Garcia for getting his first goal. And this team just, like I said, keeps moving forward in that ceiling and keeps hitting that potential that we know this Almeida Ike can hopefully reach. And let's hope that it reaches it before it's too late in this season. Anyway, guys, opus panda. Like always, Forza Ikara, and I will talk to you guys later.